now let's get in a little bit deeper to your platform. You've got some issues, primarily climate change and sustainability.
So, right. I mean, when we're talking about what we can do to respond to climate change on the local level, a program to pump out solar is one thing, a program to help people with home energy retrofits to get them off of natural gas, both for cooking and heating. We need to stop using it. The thing on the local level that we have to do, those are both things that we can impact on the local level, but that, you know, will also be impacted on other levels. The thing on the local that is wholly under the control of the local level is transportation.
Uh-huh.
We cannot keep driving at the rate we are. Nationally in the U.S., personal car and truck transportation accounts for 17% of emissions. In Bloomington, it's lower. It's closer to 8 or 9% because our grid is so bad. So yeah. It's like being washed out by all the grid's emissions. But as we make progress on that, it's going to become a bigger and bigger share. And it's got to get to zero in 30 years. Electric cars aren't the answer. You run into the same physical limits you would with other problems. It's an energy problem. We can't pump them out quickly enough. Adoption's not coming fast enough. It's incredibly expensive. And the batteries, there are embodied emissions in them. We create emissions in creating the batteries in the first place. And we're going to need to create batteries to put on the grid to allow for that, you know, to offset the timing of solar energy. It only produces during part of the day, and you've got to store it. You got to produce an excess and store it so that you can use it at night. So we're going to need to produce a certain amount of batteries to get the grid off. We can't really afford to be producing extra so we can drive our cars. We know how to build a city and how to build a transportation system that makes cars a luxury, that make it so you don't need a car to get around for most people. We need to build a mobility system that makes it easy, pleasurable, you know, quicker to take the bus, to ride your bike, to walk.
Now, you rode your bike here to the studio.
I try to ride my bike as much as I can. And the Waterman neighborhood is right off the western end of the Beeline. So I'm like a third of a mile from the western end of the Beeline, which makes it pretty easy, at least to get downtown. If I have to go much further than downtown, it starts to get hard. And a lot of the people I've spoken to, the number that gets thrown around a lot is like 60% of people would ride their bike more if the infrastructure were there to support it. And I can speak anecdotally, a lot of the people I've spoken to say, I would love to ride my bike more. I don't feel safe because the cars are built for, you know, the roads are built for cars, and cars are massive death machines. If you get hit by a car at 30 miles an hour, and 30 miles an hour is not very fast for a car, it hurts. A lot of people.
Now, you talk about building an infrastructure for bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
What does that include?
Protected bike lanes. Uh-huh. So we need to model ourselves off cities that have done this already. It took them, like Copenhagen, Oslo, Norway. There are a couple of other ones in Europe. I think Barcelona is starting to do it. They sort of show us the way. Copenhagen has managed to get it so only 35% of trips happen by car. 45% happen by bike, and the remainder are walking in public transit. They do it by putting a lot of protected bike lanes around, by giving bikes a space on the road that is separated from cars and
safer. With
physical barriers.
Uh-huh.
Either raised street, so it's a raised pavement on level with a sidewalk, or just like putting a concrete block between the bike lane and the cars.
So you can also get squished.
You can also, like, there are other tricks you can do. The concrete blocks are moderately expensive, but I actually did the math during the garage discussion, and the cost to put protected bike lanes on like all of our major thoroughfares, so, you know, Walnut College, 3rd Street, down to Winslow, 17th, I think I included Sarah and Roar. I mean, I did 35 miles worth of major thoroughfare roadway. To do concrete jersey barriers, assuming we don't have to widen any of the roads, which some of those roads probably would need to be widened, but a lot of them wouldn't. We could just take lanes away from cars or squeeze the car lanes a little bit. It comes out to about $6 million. To hit the IPCC's 45% target in emissions cuts in 10 years by replacing, you know, 45% of the cars in the city with electric cars, with the cheapest electric car, which is a Smart 4.2, two-door smart car. It's $24,600 a piece. It would be $500 million. That is a hundredth of the cost to build out the bike infrastructure as opposed to try and get everybody electric cars.
The city council just recently voted to build a new garage.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
What they're saying is cars come on down.
Yeah.
We need cars for the business health of the downtown area.
Yeah,
what
no, we
would
don't.
You say?
So in Oslo, they closed the downtown to cars completely. It took them 30 years to get to that point. They had to build out their public transit and their bicycle infrastructure first. But once they did, they closed the downtown to cars completely. They do have some parking garages on the periphery. But then the inner downtown, there are no cars, except for people who are, you know, less mobile and need to drive to their destination. They make exceptions.
How's business?
Doing great. They saw a 10% increase in visitors to downtown. Business is booming. Because when you get the cars out of there, you give the space to the pedestrians, it's like the effect, like look at the Beeline. People are on the Beeline all the time. There's so much traffic that's on it. People love it. When you remove the cars, you create space for people to come and enjoy themselves and relax. It makes the downtown that much more appealing, that much more of a destination where people will come explicitly just to hang out and wander around. And as they do that, they window shop and they spend money.
Which is the goal.
Yeah. So, I mean, with the garage, obviously we can't close the downtown to cars right now. We've got a lot of work to do before we get there. We need a transit system that actually allows you to get around town efficiently and quickly. And, you know, once an hour buses don't cut it. Don't even come close to cutting it. We don't have the bike lanes in place. We have the Beeline, and that's basically it. We've got a couple of Sharos. Sharos are not, that is not bike infrastructure. That is almost worse than bike infrastructure because it's just shoving bikes in with the cars and pretending that works. It doesn't. We need protected bike lanes. We need to build out that infrastructure first, but we've got to do it pretty quickly. $19 million. So the garage was, it was $18.5 million up front, and then it was $11 million in interest, which got left out of the conversation until the last minute, which really frustrated me because it actually, the real cost of the garage is close to $30 million. When you compare the $1.4 million we would have spent repairing it for 5 years to the full cost of building a new one for $29.5 million to get 50 years of lifespan out of it, it's half the cost per year to repair the darn thing than to rebuild it. Our current bus fleet is 39 buses. We could have built out the protected bike lane network with that, you know, $6 million of that 18.5, and with the remainder, that's another 13 to 17 electric buses, brand new electric buses, to add to our existing fleet of 39. So we could have added 30 to 50% to our bus fleet and built out protected bike lanes on all of our major thoroughfares for the cost of that garage. We can't afford opportunity costs like that if we're going to get through climate change. We could have repaired it, which would have given the garage back to business owners within 6 months, a lot sooner than they would have gotten access to it or will get access to it with the rebuild. And in that 5 years that we repaired it for, built out the alternative transit. Check back in 5 years. Do we still need the garage? There's a very real chance that we wouldn't need it in 5 years. Because if we can get even, you know, right now the number of people who bike is 3 to 5%. If we can get even, make that number even, you know, 10, 15, 20%, we probably wouldn't need the garage anymore.
If someone wants to get in touch with the Daniel Bingham campaign, how do they do it?
My website is danielbinghamforbloomington.com. They can find me on Facebook. I think it's Daniel Bingham for Bloomington's the URL. I think Daniel Bingham for City Council is the name. So if you search for either, you'll probably find it.